Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
This is the FCB Podcast Network.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of a very merry podcast. I am your host, Kira Davis, host of Just Listen to Yourself, right here in FCB Network. And I'm joined, as always, by my lovely and very merry co-host, Amelia Hamilton. Hi, Amelia. How are you doing today?
Hi, I am doing very well. It's finally starting to get a little bit cooler here where I live. And I was getting a little tired of the summer weather in November. So I'm pretty happy.
Yeah. It's have you had any snow yet or anything like that?
No,
nothing like
that. I'm in Virginia. Yeah.
Yeah.
Still get snow until we might get some maybe like in January or February a little bit, but
I am sitting here in my sweater and I actually have my snow boots on because I'm cold. It's 65 today, by the way, here in Orange County. Very cold. I'm cold, but it doesn't matter what the weather is here in California. It's mm-hmm. always Christmas season when it's Hallmark season. And we've got a great guest today who's going to be with us at the end of the podcast. Super excited for that. But before we have her on, we need to talk about this movie.
We do.
A Royal Nanny. Yes.
And so I really liked it, first of all.
Did you really like it? I was not that impressed.
I mean, it wasn't like a perennial favorite. It wasn't one that I'm going to probably like, can't wait to watch every year, but I really liked it. I thought it was a good, solid Hallmark movie.
All right, good. Well, let's get into it. Set us up.
All right. We open in London 3 weeks before Christmas. So we have Claire is going through this little Christmas market with her Black BFF / coworker. I was happy to have a Black BFF back, by the way.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. It's Wallace.
Mm-hmm.
And we can tell that they are some kind of secret agents because they're like following someone. And like, she's supposed to be kind of pushing on her ear, like to listen to her comms. But instead she was pushing just like the whole side of her face.
Listen, my husband and I could not get over how many times that woman held her ear. She held her ear the whole time. And it's good. We know she's got like something, you know, a comms mic in her ear or whatever. You don't have to. I have those things in my ears all the time for media when I do a TV hit or something. Yeah. You don't have to touch it to hear or to speak. But the other thing, I was like, she's supposed to be incognito, but she's running around with her hand on the side of her face.
Everybody knows that she's MI5.
I have been rewatching 24, the mm-hmm. series lately, just for some comfort. And I haven't seen it since its original run. And Jack Bauer never holds his ear. He never does because he's a pro.
He's
he
the
knows.
Expert. Yeah.
Maybe that's the difference between American intelligence and British intelligence. Anyway,
maybe differently. Let's say that. Okay. So they're following this woman and she drops a package and they're like, we're going to go for her, the package. And they split up. She gets away, but they get the package, which is a teddy bear that has they take it back to MI5 headquarters. And there's like a little micro dot inside, which apparently is like World War II level spy craft. So that was
it is. No, it actually is. I went to the Reagan Library not that long ago and they had those little micro dots from the Russians used to drop them in drop spots across the U.S. when they were doing all their spy activity.
Yep. I've been to the spy museum up in Washington, D.C. So same thing.
It's actually also super cool. The spy museum's cool.
Yeah, as is the Reagan Library. Highly recommend both.
I highly recommend the Reagan Library. You'll never find a more beautiful place in facility in Southern California. It's gorgeous. Go.
So, yes. So, Amanda, who it turns out is the bad guy who dropped the package, but we don't know her name yet. But anyway, it's Amanda. Mm-hmm. So she's like, they took the bait. The package was bait. So now they know that they have the microdot, and the microdot has all these like schematics for Kensington Palace, where mm-hmm. a lot of the British royals live. So we know that they intended for them to get the dot, but they don't know. So they do a briefing about the whole family. They do a little rundown on that of who basically who is being threatened by this information being out. So we have, there's a king right mm-hmm. now, and then we've got his daughter, Princess Rose, who is next in line for the throne. And then she has two daughters or two kids, Princess Elle and Prince Robert. Mm-hmm. So I appreciate it. We've got a woman coming up for the next two monarchs in Britain.
Yes.
in this big, because I was a little confused at first, because it said something about at the opening festival thing that they're at, it says something about His Majesty the King, and I was like, mm-hmm. wait, like did they just film this in the last like 2 months where King Charles has already taken over? But
totally, I actually totally different family, although yeah, totally I did wonder though. I was like, I wonder if they had to like go back and change that line.
I
didn't even think that was necessary. They could have just made her the queen and her husband the king. I mean, whatever. Anyways, yeah. Princess Rose is the next in line for the throne. I do want to ask our guest coming up is a royal watcher. Mm-hmm. She's very she understands royal protocol, and so I'm going to ask her about the names here, because don't you? I think you have to use certain names for British royalty when your children are born, and Rose and Elle mm-hmm. and Robert.
No, Robert probably would have
maybe.
So that's a good question for Kinsey, who's coming up.
But anyway, so I'm sorry to interrupt.
So we have
Rose, we have her kids, we have her husband who's away.
Yep. Mm-hmm. He's away with the military. And then we've also got Prince Colin, who is just
what a rogue.
Who is just exactly just
rapscallion.
Just a hot prince who is obviously going to be the love interest. So what they decide they're going to do is they're going to put Wallace, who is Claire's partner, mm-hmm. as a new security agent at Kensington Palace. And then Claire is going to go undercover as the new royal nanny, because that job is currently open. Mm-hmm. So she grew up in foster care in a group home. And she's like, I don't know anything about kids. I don't know anything about being a nanny. Like, why am I getting this job? So they send her to this woman, Miss Lansbury, that, AKA Scary Poppins.
Yeah. I love that they named her Miss Lansbury too.
RIP, Angela.
RIP.
So they send her to see Miss Lansbury at the Devonshire Academy. And it says over the door, it's like Devonshire Academy, founded 1902. And I was like, this is Britain. That's actually not very old.
Yeah, that's not very old at
all. But okay. So she has to do like intense 24 hours of nanny training. Mm-hmm. So they get things like a nanny should always have an umbrella, and she teaches her all these like combat moves with her umbrella. But the main thing that we get from Scary Poppins, Miss Lansbury, is love always triumphs in the end.
And she said she wrote that line herself.
She wrote that line herself.
She says,
in her
love
book.
Always triumphs in the end. And totally Claire was like, oh, that was really beautiful. She's like, yes, I wrote that. I'm like, oh, wow. That's a real deep it thoughts was. With Scary Poppins.
It was unique insight that no one else has ever commented on. So, you know, and she gives Miss Lansbury the whole story too, about how she grew up in a group home and she doesn't really know anything about kids. She doesn't have siblings. She never babysits her friends' kids. And she's like, well, as long as you love them, you know, because again, love will triumph.
Right.
So they show this exterior of Kensington Palace, which is very much not Kensington Palace. It's just some house that's the same sort of color brick.
Yeah.
It's
Kensington Palace is not that striking from the outside, I will say. I mean, when I went there a few years ago and I was really excited to see it, and I'm like, I was underwhelmed. Now, I was standing outside the gates with the rest of the pores, and I'm sure on the inside, it's amazing. But on the outside, because I think I have this American notion of what a palace should be, and it is. It is very, I mean, when you compare it to all of the other royal buildings, it seems large and sort of plain from the parts you can see.
Yeah.
Anyways, so, but yeah, so I was, I accepted that they used that generic Kensington Palace. Most people don't know what it looks like, but yeah, so they're, so the whole family lives at Kensington Palace. The prince didn't live there though, did he?
Prince does not. Well, no, and we will get to that in a minute as well.
Okay.
But
I was a little confused.
So she gets there and meets the family. The kids very much do not want a nanny. They think they're too old for a nanny, all of that. Princess Rose had like a decent English accent, but it did not sound super upper class royal to me. And that kind of bugged me because I'm the accent police for no reason. Speaking of which, Prince Colin is Canadian. So his accent bugged me.
Yeah, he sounded very Canadian. There were a lot of muted accents in this film. We're going to give it a pass because it's Hallmark.
Yeah, we'll let it go. It's Hallmark.
Yeah.
So, all right. So we find out that the kids, they say like, a little bit mischievous or something like that, you know,
spirited,
prone to mischief. That's what I wrote down. So she gets shown to her room. She immediately, with the door open, starts pushing on her ear, talking into her earpiece. She's supposed to be undercover. Even the family doesn't know that she's MI5, except that anybody, any member of staff, anybody who walks by can see her talking into her comms. So they're going to know that either she's like spying on them for the government, or, you know, to protect them, or she's like selling their secrets.
Crazy.
Or she's crazy. There's also that option. So she goes around the house, the room, and figures out all the little pranks that they had hidden. You know, they had like, when she opened a drawer, one of the little snake things was going to pop out. And
yes. Yeah. They were really giving it to her, because we find out that this family can't really hold on to nannies because the kids really torture the nannies. I didn't find any of their pranks to be that torturous that a nanny would quit, especially when you're a royal nanny, like how hard to get that job. But apparently the nannies that the Devonshire Academy had been sending over don't really have strong character.
Yeah, they weren't up for it.
No, they were not.
But
Claire, she's different.
Claire's ready. But since she finds them all, Elle and Robert, the kids, are really upset about this. Like, what are we going to do about this nanny? Well, fortunately, Prince Colin shows up and he's like, I'll help you. And they do the old bucket on the open door. So when she opens the door, which, you know,
that was mean.
Colin needs to grow up a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. Spaghetti over the door.
Yeah, it was spaghetti, by the way. No sauce.
No sauce. Yeah. Fair enough. No, that was really, it was not only immature, but I think a little bit mean. You know, spaghetti falls on you and it gets you. I mean, I just was like, come on. But anyway, Claire is smarter than Colin.
Claire outsmarts him. Spaghetti ends up on Colin, which he deserves. Although I'm one of these people, like, I see little TikToks and stuff of like people pulling pranks and I never think they're funny.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. Maybe I'm just not a prank person. I'm not a prank person either. Either I think they're mean spirited or like, who's going to clean that up? Which I guess makes me boring, but.
No, this was exactly what I was thinking. As a mother, I was like, you know, there's spaghetti all over the floor now.
Right.
And I know that in the royal family, they have their maids and their staff. But as a mom, I just, that was like, no, this isn't funny or cute at all. Someone needs to clean that up.
Right. So while they're dealing with spaghetti, MI5 is going after Amanda, the bad guy woman. And she sneaks away. She runs out her apartment window right as they're coming in the door and she gets away. But they find that she has pictures of the royal family all up in her apartment. So they're like, they know something's up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She's planning something. She's got one of those wall maps, you know, you got strings tied to different. Yeah. Yeah. Here's my thought process. So she didn't really, that lady didn't really have a great exit plan. To be honest, she should have burned all that stuff, right? If you're going to leave all the clues, she just left all the clues. She didn't have a plan. Yeah. Again, I've been watching 24. I've been rewatching 24 and I've seen quite a few terrorists now have to leave their lairs very quickly. And they all have contingency plans for blowing up and burning up their clues.
Right.
But so if this lady gets caught, she deserves it. She was asking for it.
She does. She does deserve it. She's not good at this.
No.
All right. So next morning, her first full day at Kensington Palace, and the kids are just finding out that their dad's not going to be able to come home for Christmas because of his military responsibilities, mm-hmm. and everybody's bummed about it, but it's time to go off to school. Wallace is the new security guy, takes him to school in a Mercedes minivan. Mm-hmm. Okay. So then she and Wallace go off to do their spy duties for the day. And they start with, they did arrest one guy, Ford, at the Christmas market in the beginning when Amanda got away, but they need his phone. And they're like, maybe he dropped it at the Christmas market. So they go to the Christmas market. She just goes up to Lost and Found and it's like, yeah. Did anybody find a phone? I lost my phone. And they're like, here's a phone. And she's like, cool.
It's mine. I'm like, you didn't even ask her, like, what's the number? Watch her unlock it. Like, right, nothing. Watch her unlock it.
Yeah. What's the picture on the wallpaper? Anything. Yeah.
Anything to say that it's yours. I mean, I was like, maybe I should just start going up to random lost and founds and seeing if there's phones there.
Just somebody told me once that if you're ever in a city and you need to charge your phone, to go to the hotel front desk and be like, hey, I think I left my charger, because they've got like 1,000 chargers.
That's brilliant.
And they'll just give you one because they don't even care because they have so many.
Okay. Duly noted.
Tried this, but I bet it would work.
Welcome to Life Hacks with Very Merry Podcast Team.
I would hope that they do a little more research.
Yeah, I would. She did nothing. All she was like, I lost my phone. They're like, oh, here's a phone.
Yeah.
Great.
But then they need to figure out, you know, what's on the phone, all that kind of stuff. So they pick up the kids from school and they go over to Collins. To be honest, I wasn't entirely clear why they went straight to Collins, but whatever.
I wasn't clear at all. And I didn't understand. He lived at that place, right? That was his place.
Yeah. And so that's the other thing. So he lives at Frogmore, which is a cottage on the grounds of Windsor Castle. It's like, it's where Meghan and Harry lived for a while. And
they spend like $15 million renovating Frogmore? Like, and yes. Then they left.
And then when they quit being royals, they had to repay it because the deal was that was going
to
be their house.
He should have to repay that wedding bill but anyways.
Yeah. and so I think either like one of Prince Andrew's daughters lives there now, I think. I mean, it's like it's on the grounds at the castle. So that's a good like 20-25 miles outside of London, which seems like, and with traffic, I mean, that's, you know, could be an hour.
It's not for nothing.
45 minutes or an hour. So it just seemed sort of an interesting choice that they hang out over there. I don't know.
But anyway, they hang out over there.
And he is like, Nanny, you can't come in. The kids are mine this afternoon. Goodbye. And slams the door in her face.
Yeah, it was very rude, especially for somebody who was like, I love playing tricks on the nanny, but then he didn't want anything to do with her. But you know what? I just had a feeling at that point that he was going to get his comeuppance. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I just felt like at some point he was going to get his comeuppance. I don't know. It's just an instinct I had.
He maybe isn't a terrible guy, but we have to
find
out.
He might not be.
So that night, the silent alarm goes off in the kitchen at Kensington Palace, and Claire goes down there. And Rose is just down there making sandwiches for the kids' lunches for the next day because she is trying to be as involved as she possibly can be while doing all of her royal duties and her husband being gone. And she's kind of struggling, you guys.
Yeah. I liked this little moment. I thought it was very sweet.
It was.
Yeah.
One
thing that was interesting is, you know, there's Princess Rose. She's making the sandwiches and Claire comes rushing in. Oh my gosh, what's going on? Oh, it's just the princess. She's triggered this alarm. And she says, oh, please don't tell anybody about this. And I'm like, are you not allowed? We'll ask our royal watcher, but are you not allowed to use the kitchen in the middle of the night in Kensington Palace?
I remember that being a thing with Princess Diana, that they were like, please just tell us whatever you need and we'll bring it to you. Like,
really?
In the kitchen.
I would think like the funnest part of all that stuff is that you can just go do whatever you want.
One would think.
Like, what if she gets hungry? She just wants a sandwich. She doesn't want to wake up the workers.
You got to call and ask.
Dang, I was like, that's cold, man. She was like, don't tell anyone. I was in my own kitchen in the middle of the night.
Well, and so when Wallace, the security guy, shows up because the alarm went off, Claire has to be like, oh, it was me. I was making a snack, which I love because there's like four sandwiches being made. And she's like, it's just my little evening snack of four sandwiches.
There was a lot. At first, I didn't understand she was making sandwiches for her kids. And I'm like, why are there 18 pieces of bread on the counter? And then even then, when she revealed she was making sandwiches for the kids, it was still a lot.
It was still a lot.
And as far as I can tell, they were butter and cheese sandwiches. She was just spreading. She just kept spreading stuff with a knife, but she wasn't really putting a sandwich together. And the other
thing, Rose. Maybe that's why the kitchen staff prefers you just ask. Because they're like, you don't know how to make a sandwich.
They don't know how to make a sandwich. Every time Rose comes down here, there's like five loaves of bread out. We got to go shopping the next day because she don't know how to put a sandwich together. I did notice in that scene, it was really bugging me that there was a fly crawling on some of the condiments. It was really bugging me. Yeah.
That's problematic. I don't like it.
Yeah.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
These days, it seems like everybody's talking, but no one is actually listening to the things they're saying. Critical thinking isn't dead, but it's definitely low on oxygen. Join me, Kira Davis, on Just Listen to Yourself every week as we reason through issues big and small, critique our own ideas, and learn to draw our talking points all the way out to their logical conclusions. Subscribe to Just Listen to Yourself with Kira Davis, an FCB radio podcast on Apple, on Spotify, iHeart, or wherever you get your podcasts. So anyway, she's down there. She's making her multiple sandwiches.
They have a nice little moment. They bond.
She just so wants to be a good mom.
Just wants to be a good mom.
But she's always so busy.
Always so busy. There's a lot on her plate. Also, yeah, she's literally covered because there's all the sandwiches. Right. So in the but still the kids are not into her. So in the morning, she's getting the kids out to the van for school. Wallace opens the little sliding door on the van and it's full of Christmas ornaments. All these Christmas ornaments come rolling out.
And it turns out
Claire pulled this prank to make the kids like her. And again, I was like,
someone has to clean those up.
Right.
They all broke. They poured out of the vehicle. Right.
My first thought was actually, I thought the kids had done it at first. And I was like, this palace has terrible security.
Yeah.
If you can just sneak in and put ornaments in there. But it turns out that she was working, the security people like let her do it to get the kids to like her.
I mean, there was a guy sitting in the car. That was the other thing. I'm like, there was a guy driving the car. Did he notice?
The driver didn't see that.
He was just sitting there.
Very strange. So they're trying to arrange a video call for the kids and their dad around Christmas time, really anytime. And the assistant is acting, Rose's assistant is acting all weird about it. Like, no, it's too hard to get a call. I'm trying, but no, we can't get it done. So Rose talks to Wallace about it. Like, hey, see what you can do.
Claire talks to Wallace about it. Yes.
Yes, Claire does. So meanwhile, Colin is still not being my favorite. He's telling Rose that they should just fire the nanny. Like, sir, it's none of your business. She's done nothing wrong. You've been torturing her and she's been perfectly nice to you.
Right.
So I don't know. So then he makes this comment that I feel like, so Rose is like, no, I love her. I trust her because she didn't tell anyone I was making sandwiches.
Mm-hmm.
And he makes this comment like, well, you've been wrong in the past when you've confided in people. And I thought that was going to come back, but It kind of does.
At the end, yeah. But I guess, yeah.
I thought it was going to be a bigger deal.
Yeah. So, maybe it was just a piece that got cut, but
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, maybe Rose is like, poor Rose. She doesn't seem to have any friends, you know, like no one to talk to. Who do you trust in that position?
Yeah. So after school, Robert's practicing the violin. Elle and Rose are just sitting there enjoying him playing the same note over and over.
Right. I was like, he was like, do, 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 do.
Yep. His mom was and like, and they're like, you're getting brilliant. So much better. And I was like, is he?
I was like, this is terrible.
This and is- I played the violin in like middle school, junior high. Mm-hmm. And I had to practice scales and stuff, but I don't ever remember just playing one note over and over again.
Well, I'll tell you this. Both my children, much to my annoyance, played violin in elementary school. And we live in a hoity-toity area where you have to buy the violin. and sign up for this quote scholarship program for the poor, which is what I did. And if you don't get the violin, then you go to recorder. And so I was like praying that my kids would not get the violin scholarship so that we could just buy the $10 recorder. Unfortunately, they both got the violin scholarship. And I have been to elementary violin concerts, and they kind of are just one note being played horribly over and over again for 20 straight
hot
minutes.
Cross buns. I mean, I don't, you know, it was nothing, you know, by the time I was, you know, several years into it, it got better, but.
Yeah, it is torturous. I will say that. I've been in this position.
Violin's rough before it sounds good.
It should never, I will tell our listeners this little fun fact about Keira Davis. When I was in elementary school, I played the ukulele.
I didn't even know that.
We had a ukulele program, and the first and only song we learned to play on the ukulele was Karma Chameleon. It's true.
Okie dokie.
Yep. Anyway, a little fun fact about Kira. I can play Karma Chameleon on the ukulele.
I like it. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, Robert's violin practice is cut short because they have a video call with Dad.
Yay!
It's Claire and Wallace, like one phone call to get it done. The assistant is not happy about this, but
I don't know why she is so against the children speaking to their father. I also don't know why the next king can't use FaceTime.
Right.
That was
confusing. He won't be king though.
He'll be the crown prince.
Prince consort.
Prince consort. That sounds dirtier.
I don't know what to tell you. Camilla is the queen consort. How does that make you feel?
I feel like she's a slut.
Okay. I guess Kira.
Well, I have very strong feelings about Camilla as a former Canadian. I have very strong feelings about Camilla.
As a former Canadian.
Yes.
So things are weird. Claire is being told that because, you know, they've gotten this, that, you know, Amanda had these pictures and the threat level is rising. So she needs to keep an eye on Colin also, because they think maybe he's trying to get the throne. Maybe he's behind it and trying to like take out the rest of his family so he can be on the throne. But I'm trying to figure out how she's like, I feel like if you take a job as a nanny, hanging out with their uncle isn't part of how it works, especially when the uncle, because some, you know, a lot, Kensington Palace is broken up into apartments that a lot of different royals live in.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So even if he lived there, that would be something.
Right.
But he doesn't. He lives in Windsor. So I'm not really sure how she's supposed to do that.
Yeah.
But she'll figure it out, because she's a really good MI5 agent.
Well, but I really did feel like, you know, are you supposed to be spending so much time with this guy? Like, right. Yeah, I don't think this is part of the job. If you're not with the kids and you need to be like in the MI5 office doing it, like security stuff, whatever those people do. I did think she was stepping outside of her boundaries. And I also thought it was a little dark to consider that Colin might actually want to murder his entire family just so he can take
his sister
the
and
throne.
Her children. It was Hallmark dark. It was actually past Hallmark dark. It was full on dark.
No, it gets darker too.
Yeah. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. So she talks to Miss Lansbury, like, hey, what's going on here? And she's like, whatever, Colin's innocent. But she seems to have no advice about the fact that Colin lives far away. So once again, she takes the kids to Frogmore. And he's like, listen, fun. So she tries to get in the house because she needs to be watching him too. And he's like, sorry, fun is required here. And she's like, I'm super fun. So he's like, okay, come in, which was sort of a very fast turnaround, I thought.
Yeah, but when it's a pretty blonde lady telling you that she's super fun, I mean, how much resistance are you going to get?
True. You know she's like, hey, I'm not like other girls.
Right. And she's not.
And she's not, obviously. So when she gets in there, Colin is personally wrapping Christmas gifts for this Christmas charity that he runs that gets presents to underserved, to kids who wouldn't otherwise have presents.
Right.
Which, if anyone has a charity like that in their hometown, by the way, I just want to say you should totally do it. My dad's nonprofit, before he retired, used to have like a Christmas thing where you could adopt a family. And it was like the highlight of my Christmas.
Yeah, I think Christmas Angels is a program that you can do as well. And that's, you can actually just get a chapter started at your church. And there's also another one, I'll try to think of the name for the next episode, but it's one where you can buy gifts for the children of men and women who are in prison, you know, so that they have, I like that. Yeah.
It's and Salvation nice. Army also has one where you can adopt like elderly people who don't really have any family around.
Oh,
so I know my family, we did that last year.
Oh, I'm going to look into that because my daughter wants to do some volunteer work this Christmas. I actually really love that one. Okay. I'm writing that down so I can.
So there are a lot of cool ideas. So everyone should actually do that.
It is.
If you do, then a prince who might be a homicidal maniac will wrap the presents and deliver them to the elderly people for you.
And this is what the prince says too. I won't. He says this later on, but it's very important that he is the head of this charity and he wraps the gifts. But he doesn't do anything else. He doesn't go buy the gifts. He doesn't seem to be around any children whatsoever, except his own niece and nephew. But it's just he wraps gifts. And this is how we know he's a good man.
That's true. So they decide to play charades together, the four of them.
That charades was crazy.
The nanny, the uncle, and the two kids. The charades was painful to watch.
Yeah.
And
one of the clues was Santa toys. Santa toys.
I thought it was Santa's sack.
No, that's what it should have been. It was Santa toys. At the end, she was miming the sack and putting the toys in. I'm like, okay, Santa's sack. And one of the kids actually said that. And she was like, no, it's Santa toys. I'm like, what kind of, who on earth would think of the phrase Santa toys?
I don't know. I think charades is pretty awkward anyway, but they loved it. And it went so well that they inducted her into the Royal Fun Club.
Yes. The Royal Fun Club. I like the sound of it. And I'm going to ask about it later. If it's real.
Ask Kinsey.
Yeah, it's real.
It's a good idea.
The Royal Fun Club. I think it's a great idea.
So he did this thing where he like had her kneel and like with a toy sword, he's like, you know, I dub thee a member of the Royal Fun Club. And that reminded me of one of my favorite recent royal stories. Do you know this Ed Sheeran story?
No.
Oh my goodness. Okay. So he was at a party, possibly at Frogmore, because he was at Princess Beatrice's house. I don't know which house or what the deal was. Princess Beatrice, it's never been totally confirmed that it was Princess Beatrice herself, but the lack of information makes me think that it was, projecting it, tried to knight him like as a joke with a sword while drunk and cut his face. And he's got a scar on his face now.
No way. That's kind of an awesome story.
I know. That's why he has a scar on his face now. Oh, I found this article. Ed Sheeran's manager confirms that Princess Beatrice cut the musician's face with a sword at a dinner party. So,
rich people. They're not like us.
They're not like us.
That is amazing. What a cool story to tell going down. How'd you get that scar on your face? Well, actually.
That's never happened to me, ever.
That's amazing. Wow. I mean, you wouldn't even feel bad about it.
I know. I feel like especially if he's awesome. A dude, you know, a scar on your face. You're cool.
Yeah. How funny.
So she's in the Royal Fun Club now. Okay. So the next day, Claire and Colin go back to the little Christmas village fair, whatever, to volunteer together. And he talks about how he just like loves giving gifts. Then James Wilder, the richest man in England, pulls up. And Colin is frustrated because he's been trying to get this guy to donate to the program forever and he won't. So apparently sometimes he just like drives up
Right.
Says, I'm here for nothing.
Yes. And then I literally have this in my notes. Does a rich bad man come around every year just to reject the prince and his bad kids?
Like, why is he here in person?
Why is he always showing up just to say no? And we also know that he's a bad man because he has a double-breasted suit on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We can't trust him. But Claire tells him about her childhood. And at the same time, Colin is finding out. He didn't realize that she was a foster kid, that she had been in a group home. And she talks about like how much it would have meant to get a gift like this. So he's like, I will buy the remaining 1,000 gifts and cover all of the gifts. And I was like, I feel like if you are even vaguely related to a nonprofit, or honestly, even if you just get the mailers and you just throw them right in your recycling, you know that the way you get people to donate is you say, here's the person that would be helped.
Yes.
Or like a personal story is what you do. You don't have Prince Colin go, hi, can I have some money?
Right.
I mean,
has Colin been pitching this whole time? Right. Also, I would like to point out that Rich Badman does make some good sense. At one point, he says, Colin says, would you like to donate? And he says, I don't know why I would donate just a few dollars, you know, or just a little bit of money to bring happiness to a child for one day when I could focus on projects that help children overcome their circumstances so they can have good lives right. as adults. And it made me think, of course, of last week's episode where the bad guy was actually the hero right. of the Scrooge movie and actually the hero. I was like, yeah, actually that makes sense. He's saying, I have a lot of money, but I would like to put it towards something that's going to have some returns down the road for these kids.
Right.
He made sense.
He does make sense.
Maybe I'm just a bad person, Amelia.
We're too practical for Hallmark.
I think so. Anyway, she convinces him.
So she convinces him. Colin is so crazy impressed after Rich Badman leaves that they have a look, like a will they kiss kind of look. And then she's like, gotta go get the kids, bye, and runs.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't have time for that.
Well,
she's got a job to do.
That's conflict of interest too.
It is.
Yeah.
It's a lot going on. So she goes to get the kids at the B and the school is called the B and A primary school, which I kept trying to think of what that could mean, but I came up with nothing.
The B and A.
But I feel like that was some in joke for, you know, that the producer came up with or the set designer, somebody was like,
right.
These are for my kids or something.
I bet you're right.
So the kids after school, they've just picked up the kids and they want to go Christmas shopping for Rose. They want to pick out a present by themselves. So they call in backup squads and they all go Christmas shopping together in what appears to be like a Barnes and Noble. Mm-hmm. And there's nobody else there at all. So
no, they shut the store down. Wallace says that. He says, you have 30 minutes. We were able to shut down the store for 30 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah. Which is also what Jennifer Lopez does when she goes shopping.
Oh
yeah. Mm-hmm. Just a little, just so you know.
Yeah, I don't do that. I've never done that before.
I've never done that before. But you know what? If I could, I would.
Would you? I feel like I would just be like, can I sneak in early while you guys are stocking the shelves?
No, you're too nice. If I was a celebrity, I'd be like, yes, shut everything down. Inconvenience every person in the unwashed masses out there. I want everyone to know I'm on J-Lo's team. I want everyone to know that I'm in here shopping and I don't have to wait in line and I don't have to wait for service. I feel like that's just a perk.
All right.
I would do it.
I know. I believe you.
Anyway, they did it. They shut down the store so the kids could buy their own gifts.
Did
they have their own money?
Maybe that actually money wasn't really addressed, was it? And they came up with like a puzzle of a globe, like a 3D puzzle.
Mm-hmm. It was cute.
Okay. Yeah, sure. So, but meanwhile, Amanda, the bad girl, has still been following them. And she's like, here we go. We're going to grab the family, blah, blah, blah. But then their getaway car van gets blocked in. So they have to abort the mission. But just in case you were thinking that they were safe, Amanda's still out there after the royal family.
Yes, they are still out there. And I couldn't believe that they were going with a kidnap plot on Hallmark.
I know. They were all right. That night is a tree lighting ceremony, which I love. Yay. How fast tree lighting ceremonies are in Hallmark.
Yeah,
they're like, thank you for coming, 3, 2, 1, lights. every time.
And that's all it was too.
Yeah. So it was, and so it was Rose and her kids and Colin. And I kind of feel like, would the brother really be in all these pictures? I don't know. Maybe he would. Let's say yes. And, but what the real moment is after the tree lighting, they all want to make a wish and throw a coin into the fountain thing. So everyone wishes, all the every member of the royal family makes a wish that the dad will be, that their dad will be home for Christmas. And then Claire gets all weird and like doesn't make a wish. And then they tell her to, so she throws it in, and then they say, did you, what did you wish for? And obviously she's like, I can't tell you or it won't come true, which is the correct answer. I was shocked that everyone else made a wish out loud.
I was too, which led me to believe maybe the dad's going to die. This movie is getting dark. Maybe the dad dies in service. And then the kids have to live with the fact that it's their fault for saying the wish out loud.
I mean, that's kind of, yeah.
That's an alternative version.
It's an option. It's something to think about.
Yeah.
So the next day, and here's something else that maybe you would do that I found horrifying, but Rose is all upset because she told Robert she would help him with a school project that evening. And now she can't, because she has to go fly somewhere to deal with, you know, some royal business that her dad, the mm-hmm. king, has assigned to her. So Claire calls, like, you know, MI5 or whoever, and they just get the flight grounded.
Yeah, they grounded the flight out of Heathrow so that Rose could stay home. And yeah, no, I actually did think, what about all those other people who are trying to get home for Christmas?
Right. Or like whatever the event was on the other end, they were like, you know, whatever this event was, you said you'd be there. And now you're
Now you're not there. I was like, I don't know. I did think it was a little bit inconsiderate. Yeah.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Did Paul Revere really say, the British are coming? And how was George Washington chosen to lead the first American army? Join us for the Growing Patriot podcast, a place for curious kids to ask the big questions about our nation's history and get kid-friendly answers from the country's top experts. Help your child learn about and cherish America's exceptional history. Subscribe to Growing Patriots on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts today.
On Claire's part, but Rose didn't know. I feel like Rose would have been the person to say, no, don't do that. I wouldn't want to inconvenience other people. Claire did it anyway. But yeah, I was a little bit miffed by them grounding a flight out of Heathrow, unless it was private.
But yeah, the whole thing, it was just, I don't know, like the lying about it, I thought was super weird.
Yeah, I didn't think it was
Claire
cool.
Make her own decisions. She's going to be queen.
Yeah. Yeah, no. And like you said, there was something on the other end that she had committed to.
Yeah. Weird. So instead, they end up playing this like game where you wear antlers on your head and like it's like a ring toss, but you're trying to get them on the antlers on somebody's head and they all play. And oh, my goodness, it's so much fun.
Oh, it looks like so much fun. A replacement for snowball fight.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't nearly as good as a snowball fight.
Nope.
So Rose finally is like, all right, it's time that we work on this school project. She takes Elle and Robert and tells Claire she can have the rest of the night off, which is pretty handy because Colin is like, how about if I take you on a tour of the gardens?
Mm-hmm.
So she's like, yeah, we're going on a tour of the gardens and getting some alone time. Yep. So they're in the gardens and he's talking about how much he likes spending time with his niece and nephew. And she's like, what about you? Do you want kids? And I was like, wow. They've never had anything approaching a personal conversation. Like they've kind of like, they played a couple games together and stuff, but then like straight for like, do you want kids? I just felt like that was a lot.
No, it is. It is a lot.
A little bit.
And in Hallmark, that's tantamount to a sexual advance.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So, you know, he turns out, you know, he says that he would like a family someday, but basically he has trust issues because of who he is. And she's like, I also have trust issues because I didn't really have anyone growing up and I was never adopted. And so they're like, wow, we're like two sides of the same coin. And it's just beautiful. And then they have another moment and they lean in.
Oh, I got
and
scared.
Almost kiss. But then MI7, it comes, pops up like an Amber Alert on her phone. That they call it MI7. Mm-hmm. Which I looked it up and it was the press and propaganda office one and two. So I felt like they could have named it something else, but okay.
They could have MI6 or 5 would have been just fine. What's 5 is domestic and 6 domestic, is international.
Yeah. So I think that MI7 is like a sister branch that they're working with.
Okay.
I think she's 5 if I remember correctly, but right. I don't. But
anyway,
it popped up on her phone seriously like an Amber Alert or like a weather alert telling you to take shelter. It was like one of those, like it was not subtle and except that it was red and it took up the entire screen. Yeah. Like MI7 wants to talk to you.
Secret agent alert right now. I did breathe a sigh of relief though, that they didn't kiss.
Yeah.
I was like, no, it's too soon.
It was, it was about an hour in. So I was, you know, in the, Lights, Camera, Christmas. Was it Lights, Camera, Christmas that they kissed like an hour in?
Yeah.
So I was getting a little nervous.
Yeah, I was too.
So they end up, she is on like the other side of the, you know, one-way mirror window thing in an interrogation room. And she's looking through and on the other side, not knowing that she's there, I worded that terribly, sorry. Colin is basically being questioned by these agents. They're saying that, you know, because it turns out that Amanda volunteers with his charity. So he's like, well, if she volunteers with him, obviously they're in it together. He doesn't believe it. He can't believe that Amanda's a bad guy. And Claire's like, she realizes based on the way that they're questioning that they're not just trying to get information about Amanda. They're interrogating Colin. Like, they think that he is going to kill his entire family.
Well, and here's something interesting about the volunteer angle. At one point, her boss is at, what am I 5, 6, or 7 we're like, you know, she's asking them, what did you do? Did you check up the volunteer list? And they were like, well, we looked at the volunteers, or we looked at the list of people who worked with the prince, but it's mostly a volunteer operation. And so we have scant information about the volunteers that work there. We just don't know much about them. And even the prince says that too. Well, they're just volunteers. I don't know where they come from. I'm like, well, I have to fill out like 8,000 forms to like volunteer at my kids' sports events.
Yeah.
You know, like they don't, what do you mean you let just people just walk up and volunteer with the royal family? You have no background check? Like, this seems like a huge security failure.
I have a lot of questions about British security after watching this.
Yeah.
Because apparently anyone can get a job as a nanny too.
Yeah, right.
But so they're telling him that the safest thing is to step back from the charity for a while. And here's the part that you mentioned earlier where he's like, no way. I have to run it myself. I am going to run the charity. I have the presents won't get wrapped without me. And that's the key thing.
I have to be the head of this charity. I don't know what you do besides wrap the gifts.
I don't either. But he's like, Rose and the kids can and should keep a low profile, keep them safe. I'm going to keep running the charity. So cut to the charity ball Christmas party. The party's getting started. Claire's in there with the kids and they're like checking out the appetizers and Colin's like, come outside. So they go outside and he's like, ugh, I don't want to be in there, blah, blah. And it's like, bro, this is why nobody donates to you. You need to be in there working the room.
Right. You're not supposed to be there. Do you not do this every single year?
You at least have to be there at the kickoff. Like, I get it if later you need to like go take 5 minutes to yourself, whatever. But it's just starting and you're not even there.
I know. So, this is the guy who like, I've got to be the head of this charity because I have to wrap all the gifts.
So then he's like, I want Claire to come to the party. as my guest. Okay. That's first of all, again, I don't think that a royal would just like, here's my new date. I met her 2 days ago. We're going to go public.
Yeah.
But Princess Rose then offers her a gown to wear.
Naturally.
She is approximately 3 feet shorter mm-hmm. than Claire.
And but probably whatever, like 30 pounds lighter. She was a right. waif. Yeah. She but was
good,
very tiny.
The good news is that Claire has her own gown. I don't know why, but she does. She has a black tie appropriate gown.
Maybe that's part of what you bring as a nanny. A nanny always has a gown in case you need to suddenly appear at a party. Yeah. You never know when you're going to fall in love sure. with sure. your rich employers.
With your employers. Brother,
yeah,
who you're also spending all your days with.
Well, it happens.
It does. All, yes. yeah. all the time.
A good nanny is always cliche. Prepared. And didn't Miss Lansbury say that a good nanny is prepared for anything?
She did. It's true. So Claire gets there. She looks beautiful, and Colin just like brings her to the receiving line, and they're just like receiving guests together.
Yeah.
Okay.
No That's big deal.
So again, he's. You know, greeted like three people. So he needs another break and he takes Claire to this other little room where they've got like a little Christmas village that I really hope you can buy at Hallmark. I hope that was product placement.
Yeah.
And he like loves putting together this little Christmas village and they talk about what's important to them. And she's like, the kids are so blessed to have you. And it's, you know, I'm just like, well, I hope he's not trying to kill them. He's got everybody fooled.
Claire is not yet determined.
Yeah, she is not. So he goes in for a kiss and she's like, God, time to go back to the ball. She is a professional. All right. So finally, we get a clue that something's up with the assistant.
Yes.
Find something in her financial records. She's getting all this money. We don't know where. Also, though, we're on the next day now. Colin also seems to be kind of a bad guy, but Claire still keeps being like, no, he can't yeah. possibly be.
She can feel their connection.
She can. So 2 days, we're at 2 days until Christmas. We started.
This is where it gets crazy to me.
Christmas. This is where it gets crazy. So they go to do a visit at like a foster group home. And she's like, this is the exact place where I grew up. And he can't believe it. And she says, like, I feel like the ghost of Christmas past. And he goes, I'm the ghost of Christmas presence. And she just like looks at him. Terrible. Terrible. So they give each kid a present and they're like, open them up. And some of them, I don't know. Actually, to be honest, I was paying attention because this appears to be Colin's only job in the world. They did not appear to be wrapped that well. Like one of them was a Tonka truck and he just like had wrapping paper wrapped around it. Like it wasn't in a box. I was like, mm-mm.
Oh yeah. Better. Well, you know, now we know why Colin is the guy that wraps gifts in the family and he's not the one that's overseas serving in the military.
Exactly. So when they're leaving this event, Amanda, the bad guy, is outside again. And
she's got her henchmen.
Yep. Her henchmen, she's got her henchmen. Claire does not use any of her MI5 training, but all of her nanny training, and uses her umbrella right. to get the kid to keep everyone away and get the kids safely into the car. But Colin has been kidnapped by the bad guys.
This I was like, what? This whole scene blew my mind because I was like, okay, there's Amanda, there are her henchmen. Are they really going to go through with this kidnapping? And then I thought they were going to get the kids, which was crazy enough in a Hallmark universe. Yeah. Like there's no crime in Hallmark Christmas universe, but there was in British Hallmark Christmas universe. And then I was like, I can't believe they're gonna kidnap the kids. But then she got them into the car and then they took Colin. By the way, it was really easy to take Colin. There was no like we've seen, both of us have had jobs in the political sphere, and we have seen how Secret Service and people like that act when there's a threat to the person they're protecting. And I mean, there's a whole protocol there. Didn't seem to be followed at all. They just casually dragged him to the van and put him in.
Yeah. Yeah. It was ridiculous.
I think that's the first kidnapping I've ever seen on Hallmark Christmas movie.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh my gosh, have we gone almost an hour already? Oh my gosh.
Yeah. We got our guest coming.
Okay. So she tells the Princess Rose that she's MI5, like right in front of the kids. She just goes home and she's like, hey, your kids are safe, but your brother got kidnapped. Also, I'm MI5. And they're like, what? So her boss tries to take her off duty. But Rose is like, no, I don't trust anyone except Claire. So they're starting to realize that something is going on. Somebody inside of security services, MI, whatever number, seems to be in on this because something is going a little bit crazy. So first they try to take in the assistant that we always thought was kind of fishy.
Yeah.
But it turns out that all she's doing, not all she's doing because it's not good, but she's selling secrets to some tabloid.
Yeah.
So
the mirror. Yeah. She's selling gossip to the mirror, which probably happens a lot. Yeah.
And they were like, that's treason. You could get 10 years. And I was like, treason is 10 years? In Britain, they used to like draw and quarter you until you were almost dead, then cut you open and pull out your guts in front of you. And I'm like, and now you get 10 years?
Yeah. Here in the US, you hardly get anything. Yeah.
Yeah.
You need to go back to tearing people apart.
Yeah. Come on. As long as this movie's dark, let's just go there. So they are still blaming Colin. The rest of MI, everybody else is still blaming Colin. They still think he's involved. She gets suspended. Meanwhile, he calls and he's like, you know, they have demands. But she's suspended. What's she going to do? Okay. Christmas Eve. So Colin's been gone for a day. It turns out Miss Lansbury knows everything that's going on in London. And she has a video proving that Prince Colin's guard was in on this.
Yes.
He used to be MI7 and so did Ford and Amanda, the two bad guys.
Which, by the way, I was like, I called that at the very beginning of the movie because the head of MI567, the redhead guy, or he's like the assistant head, the redhead guy had things in his office where he had all the pictures of all the perpetrators on the wall. And I saw the Collins bodyguard. And it looks like the same guy. It wasn't like a disguise. And this is a very distinct man. He's a large, light-skinned black man or a large Hispanic man. I'm not sure, but he's definitely don't look like everybody else around. And I'm like, how do they not know that guy is the same guy? So they finally figured it out.
They finally figured it out. His picture's been there, but yeah. So it turns out that what they were doing was trying, I guess, MI7, which has not existed since World War II, they think that maybe it's not useful. So what they decided to do was create a crisis and then save the day to keep their own funding.
Mm. So,
all right. Our royal commentator is coming on now.
All right.
So we've got like 2 minutes of wrap up left, Kinsey.
Yeah.
You're fine. You can listen.
Just sit tight. We're almost done.
To the end. So it's nighttime, Christmas Eve. And Claire is like, I'm just going to go save Colin myself. So, I mean, with Wallace, you know, they get the van, she puts her little earbuds in, she's ready to go. So she breaks in armed with her umbrella because that is a key piece of equipment for MI5 nannies. Rescues Colin, you know, she like trips people with her umbrella. She kicks everybody's butt.
Never once pulls out a weapon of any kind, a gun, a knife.
I noticed that when she got suspended, she turned in her badge, but there was no gun to turn in. And I know that like police in Britain aren't armed, but I would really hope that MI5.
Really feel like MI5, 6, 7, it would be, would have armed. I mean, it was just like, I was like, wow, she's going to go in straight up Jack Bauer again, recalling my 24. I'm rewatching 24. She's like straight up Jack Bauer. Then I was like, you know what? I want to pitch this movie. Mm-hmm. But I want Jack Bauer as the nanny. And then he just goes straight up like cutting throats, you know? I just think you could have added another layer.
Dark, so why not?
It was pretty dark for homework.
All right. So her boss gets arrested. Everybody goes home. Christmas morning, denouement. They're opening presents and Colin gets there and he's got the dad because when Colin got kidnapped, it triggered a royal emergency protocol and the dad got to leave.
Hooray for being kidnapped.
It all works out. And then they were like, this is what we all wished for. What did you wish for? And she's like, I wish that I could spend Christmas with your family. And at that moment, the king calls to talk to her and invites her to Sandringham because that's where they spend every Christmas. And obviously this person that they've known for 3 weeks
can come. Well, she did save.
He did save the family
with her umbrella.
That's true. That's true. And then, but here's where I thought this was crazy. So then they're like, you know, it's really a family thing. It's so cool that you got to be invited. And Rose is like, Colin, maybe you should officially make her part of the family. And I'm like, they've never kissed. They've known each other for 3 weeks.
Love it.
I think we need a little bit of time here.
No, I'm all in. What are you talking about? It's Hallmark. What are you talking about? 3 weeks is like it might as well have been 30 years that they knew enough about each other. Here's all she needed to know about Colin. He wasn't a serial killer and he could wrap presents. Here's all he needed to know about her, that she was a good person. And then she liked his niece and nephew.
She's great with an umbrella.
And she's great with an umbrella. So, I mean, yeah, no, I think it's perfectly appropriate. And frankly, I would love to see someone get married in the Hallmark universe without even kissing first. I think it's fine. Yeah, it's very Hallmark.
What was the Save the Kiss thing in the 90s? Is that what it's called? Save the Kiss or whatever? Where people didn't kiss.
Oh, yes.
That like purity culture.
I actually have friends who did that.
There you go.
Yeah. And they're still married to this day, by the way.
There you go. Yeah. You do you.
Yeah, you do you.
So anyway, so as he's saying, as Rose is making it awkward, saying that they should get married, she's like, I guess love really does triumph over all. And then they kiss.
Thank you, Scary Poppins. All right. And that was A Royal Nanny. All right. Thank you, Amelia. Our guest has logged in. I would like to say before we move on to our guest that at one point when they were sitting around wondering how they were going to call, how they were going to rescue Colin, because, and by the way, I just, you know, that's very serious for a royal to get kidnapped. It's extremely serious, but they're quite casual about it. And I was thinking, here's another opportunity. You want to go a little dark? Go Black Mirror on this. I don't know if anyone knows about the Black Mirror episode from season 1. Oh, what? Season 1, Black Mirror, someone kidnaps the royal princess and the prime minister. The terrorists say that they will release her. They will kill her, but they will release her if the prime minister has sex with a pig. And and it's a very dark episode. Ends up doing it and saving the princess's life, and then everybody, and then he becomes a hero in Great Britain. It's
so you can't kiss till you're married, but you can have sex with a pig.
I just thought,
Kinsey, you know, like, what? Why did I say yes to this podcast?
Let's just make this Hallmark Black Mirror starring Jack Bauer. Okay. People who have seen that Black Mirror episode know exactly what I'm talking about right now, and you're freaking out. Amelia, introduce our guest. She's been sitting here long enough. I am so excited to get to this next part of the podcast. Do not shut off the podcast right now. You're going to want to hear this. Amelia.
Yes. Hi. Today, we have our good friend, Kinsey Schofield, joining us. She is one of the top royal commentators, not only in America, but in Britain, too. She's on British TV all the time, talking all things royal. She is from To Die For, DI4Daily.com. And she is our window into the royal community. And so we wanted her to join us today to explain why this movie is the most accurate royal.
Hi, Kinsey. First of all, welcome.
But welcome. I just to the podcast. Start with, is this movie more or less accurate than The Crown season 5?
Oh, wow. I mean, well, they did. Colin was staying in Frogmore, which I was really impressed with. That was very Prince Harry of him. And I loved the Kensington Palace and Sandringham references, but I've not seen the importance of an umbrella yet in an episode of The Crown. There was a complete lack of chemistry between the two leads.
I agree, Kinsey. Thank you for, I loved the female lead, Claire. I thought she was great, a great performer, but I felt, there was not much of a spark between them. I agree.
And I thought that there should have been more of some sort of relationship there, because they were both in Rain. This is not their first royal rodeo. They were both in Rain, which was a CW almost soapy style series.
Oh, Queen of Scots.
Yes. And so I can't remember the characters they played, but I thought I was excited when I saw both of them in the movie. And then it was like, am I watching a brother and a sister? Like, this is weird.
You know what, Kinsey? The thing about Hallmark, it's such a hard balance to strike, because you can't have too much heat between the two leads, which is, this is my theory as to why many of the lead men in Hallmark are gay in real life. Just because, yeah, this is my working theory here. It's because, you know, they're great actors, they're great Hallmark guys, so you want them in those leads, and they have just enough sex appeal to like convince you that there's this warmth between them, and but you don't want too much heat. If it's mm-hmm. if it's too much heat, then that's, you know, that's Lifetime. That's not Hallmark. That's just my theory.
Those heathens over a Lifetime.
Yeah.
Did Paul Revere really say the British are coming? And how was George Washington chosen to lead the first American army? Join us for the Growing Patriot podcast, a place for curious kids to ask the big questions about our nation's history and get kid-friendly answers from the country's top experts. Help your child learn about and cherish America's exceptional history. Subscribe to Growing Patriots on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts today.
Well, I did want to ask, I had a couple questions.
Okay.
Can I ask Amelia a question here?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I know that you had a question about royal names and something else. Yeah.
Okay. I have a question about the royal names. There are, our royal family is named, we have Colin, we have Rose, we have Robert, and we have Princess Elle, who I is, do you think her name is Elle or Elizabeth? Maybe it's Elizabeth. I'm going to say Elizabeth. But I was under the impression that if you are part of the immediate royal family, you have so many names to choose from. You've got this list or whatever. It just seemed like very modern names. Are you allowed to name your kid whatever you want as a royal?
And obviously, Archie. Meghan Markle denies it, but she named her child after a comic book character.
But wasn't Archibald royal?
That's not his name, though. His name is Archie. His name is, his legal name is Archie.
I can't stand it. Why? Yeah. You know what? I have just this.
And Lilibet's name is Lilibet. Yeah.
This is exactly why I can't stand Meghan Markle. Okay, you just made me hate her even more. All right.
But you, I mean, typically, you know, Charles and Diana fought over specific names that had meaning and significance within the family. You do like to name your children after, you know, your ancestry, because you want them to be as admired and remembered the way that they were. So I think it's, I think that that's certainly something that they do traditionally, but it's not a rule.
Okay. All right, fair enough. I didn't care for the way they named their family. It felt very American, and it felt not as traditional, but that's just me. Prince Colin, come on.
Yeah, no, thank you.
All right, one more question. I have one more question, Amelia. Do the royal families often stay at Kensington together? They talked a lot about this being the family home, and then he moved out. Now, I'm a big fan of the royal family and grew up as a Canadian, so it's also like just really part of our culture, but I wasn't sure how the living arrangements worked out at Kensington. Doesn't even feel like people are there most of the time.
I mean, everybody's out of Kensington at this point. The family home where you'd see them collect is actually Sandringham for the holidays. A lot of royals did live in Kensington Palace. At one point, you had William and Harry in Kensington Palace. Princess Michael of Kent and her husband are still there. Princess Margaret used to live there. But it is kind of a ghost town at this point. Harry and Meghan left first to Frogmore Cottage. And now William and Catherine moved closer to Windsor because at the time, sadly, they wanted to be closer to the Queen. So it's not the place that it's not the hot place it used to be. It's an older building, and you do see so much traffic because they allow tours. I think Kensington Palace, they allow them year round. So I think that the royals are kind of trying to escape the chaos, want to raise their children in the country, and are doing so closer to Windsor.
Yeah, that's what that's what William and Kate are doing, right? They're raising the kids in quote more normal circumstances. But like, I saw a picture the other day of Kate just driving the kids to school. I mean, it's obvious that they're trying. It's obvious that you can't do that out of Kensington Palace. So I was just wondering, do they all just live in this place? Which seems horrible to me. I can't even imagine having to live with all my extended family in perpetuity. But all right. Okay, yeah. So Kensington is more like center of business these days.
Well, Buckingham Palace is really becoming what we anticipate to be King Charles's official office. Mm. He's the Queen lived in Buckingham Palace forever until the pandemic, and then they moved permanently to Windsor. But I do believe we're going to see Buckingham Palace become King Charles's office, and I do think they'll inevitably open it up for no longer seasonal visitation. I think that they're going to do tours year round at once King Charles decides if that is going to be the plan, but that's what they're discussing. But I think that Kensington Palace, while there are still some distant family members living there, I do think it becomes more of a museum, more of a space that tourists get access to and less of a sanctuary for the royal family.
All right, Amelia, what do you have?
Can I really quickly ask, did you guys acknowledge the 15 minutes before the movie ends, the green screen when Gary
with the phone?
No.
Yeah.
With the video?
Yes.
Yeah. We did not. We did not. Why don't you tell the listeners all about it? It was beautiful.
Scary Poppins has got the intel. So she's like, you got to check out this video I got. Like she's, the oldest woman in the room is going to be the one that pulls out her phone and TMZs it. And so she's like, look what I have. And they could have done this a million ways and it could have worked. But instead they show a video with a green screen, a green case, and somebody dropped a video on top of it. Her hand continues to move, but the video doesn't. So all of a sudden you're seeing all of the green outline on the video. And you're like, was this editor under the influence of too many candy canes, but they could not commit to that. That edit was not right. It was
great. And because her hand was moving, like the image that's supposed to be on the screen is like over her hand now. We'll put it on for those of you who don't follow us or check Twitter, A Very Merry Pod, Instagram, A Very Merry Podcast. We will add a little video of that so that everyone can understand how beautiful it was.
That was a great catch, Kenzie. And also the Hallmark this year has been leaning heavily on the green screens. There was more green screen in the beginning that I noticed. I think when they first went to Frogmore, everything was a green screen. They were acting in front of a green screen supposed to be outside. It was so bizarre.
Yeah. I wonder how much was like COVID rules, like were there, I don't know if it just like messed up locations or what the deal was, but it does seem like there's a ton of green screen this year.
There's a lot of green screen this year. Now, obviously I know that saves money. I think that's a good observation, Amelia, about COVID rules, but there's no excuse for that phone green screen.
No, there's not. No, none. Wait, Kara, I know you had one other question.
It could have just been a screenshot voiceover, just a still photo voiceover. And then they could have put that on top of a moving video. I mean, I would say it wouldn't have even looked that bad if we would have just seen this Instagram size screen with black to the left and to the right.
Right.
But because they went full on, I mean, I was just like, this has got to be a joke. And nobody's in trouble. Nobody got fired today.
It's why we love Hallmark though.
Yeah. Oh no, that's that's a plus. That's not a bug. Yeah. That's a feature.
They're like, we had 3 days to edit this movie and that's what we did.
Hey, Kenzie, do royals go shopping?
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. Catherine was the queen of High Street, Kensington High Street for a while. Diana, like all those great shots, those paparazzi shots of her. A lot of times she's dumping in and out of little boutiques and grabbing things for the boys. So they absolutely love to go shopping.
All right.
So Kara, I don't know if you remembered your other question, but I'm going to ask it.
I have like 80,000 questions on my notes here.
Okay. So the one that we mentioned earlier, so I want to make sure we get to it.
Oh yeah. Thank you, Amelia. Go ahead.
Is there a royal fun club? And can you just like get a little wooden sword and is that what happened to Ed Sheeran?
Yeah, it's the royal fun club.
I don't know. I don't think so. I think that that's an opportunity for us. You know, this King Charles reign. That's where we make a name for ourselves. We establish that right now.
Listen, if any royal is going to establish the Royal Fun Club, it's going to be Charles.
Nobody's
because all kind of weird stuff can go on.
He's
going to
be wearing the inflatable antlers, doing the ring toss.
Yeah, it's probably not going to look like Colin's Royal Fun Club. I'll say that.
No, it might. It might involve a phone call to Camilla, dubbed Camillagate. But you know, that's fun to some people too.
Exactly. I bet there. I mean, I bet you if you ask Prince Andrew, he's got a Royal Fun Club.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he definitely has a Royal Fun Club. I can't even repeat the password.
This is a family show.
Oh my goodness. Kinsey, were there some things that stood out to you as you were watching about, besides the terrible green screens, but like as you were watching about Royal Protocol, were there things where you were like, nope, that would never happen?
The way that is it Rose? Is that the sister? Mm-hmm. The way that Rose was completely unaware of her schedule, I was kind of like, what? And that, you know, her assistant's the bad guy, because I mean, these people have their diaries set for 6 months to a year out. There's no way you don't know what you're doing tomorrow. There's no way you don't know what you're doing 3 weeks from now. I can't help you with your homework. I've got to go talk to these orphans over here because it's been on my calendar for 6 months. You know, so that I thought was interesting. We did not see a lot of the bowing that is supposed to take place. And then additionally, employees are never supposed to turn their backs on monarchs. So you're supposed to literally back out of the room, like facing them. You're not supposed to be like, see ya, and walk around. You're supposed to like walk backwards. Very, it feels ridiculous, but you're not never supposed to turn your back on a monarch or on somebody within the royal family. So just little things like that. I mean, I watched it with a full heart. I watched it because I wanted it to be cute and silly, and it felt cute and silly, and I wasn't too judgmental about it, but the green screen sent me over the edge.
So on the opposite end, was there anything that they did that you were like, that's actually pretty accurate, or not really?
Well, I really loved the Colin character, because how much did he remind you of Prince Harry before Prince Harry went sour? I mean, he was Prince Harry when Prince Harry was cool. Yeah. And I totally can see Prince Harry saying, bring the kids over, but leave, you guys can leave. I'm hanging out with them over here. So I really liked Colin because he reminded me of OG Prince Harry.
I can also see Prince Harry being the kind of guy who's like, I wrapped 5 presents. I've done a lot of work. Like, I've done well. This is like, it's all, I did think that it was pretty accurate. Yeah. That Prince Colin was the guy that really didn't have much going on and really didn't have like the royal princes, the younger siblings period in royal history are notoriously aimless and searching for purpose. And most of the time don't want anything to do with the crown and the firm, and, you know, just kind of want to go live their lives. You know, think about Margaret, you even think about Andrew and Edward but especially Harry.
You're right. Cause there's that one moment where I don't know if they accuse Colin of something or somebody's just talking about Colin, but Colin's like, I don't want to be king. I'm good. I'm fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, they accused him of wanting to murder his entire family in order to be the king of England, which is like, wow, this is Hallmark. This is really dark. And I've been rewatching the series 24 lately. And so all of the secret agent stuff is like, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to rewrite this movie. I'm going to make Jack Bauer the nanny. And it's going to have a whole different feel.
I'm uncomfortable.
Well, that's how it's supposed to be. That it's
imagine like a Princess Margaret character instead of a Colin, and then a Jack Bauer. Now that is some sexy stuff. I mean, it's a little too sexy for Hallmark, but you could walk that right over to Lifetime, and they'll cut you a check.
You take my money right now. I am for it. I know we have to let you go. I know we have to get going, but because I have an official royal watcher on the line, I have to ask you, and me and Amelia, an absurd amount of times bring up Meghan Markle on this podcast. Like, it's absurd how much she comes up in our conversation.
She's a former Hallmark star.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we know.
We don't like to talk about that.
We really
Hallmark's dark day.
we don't really get into that very much. Like, we haven't even tried to review her movies just for fun because we just see no fun in them. But you talked a little bit about the protocol about, you know, not, you know, bowing when you're supposed to bow, curtsying when you're supposed to curtsy, not turning your back, you know, walking backwards out of the room. And I'm sure there's all kinds of other little details that require a lot of training and protocol. But how much of Meghan's rift with the royals and even the citizenry has to do with not so much her personality, but there's a part of me that's like, do you think a lot of that is just cultural? Like, she never got the culture of,
oh my gosh, you the and royal my family. You and my Uber driver today. I just had this conversation with my Uber driver because I'm in Phoenix. I have a book about Princess Diana coming out tomorrow and I'm doing an event tomorrow. And he said, oh, what do you do for a living? And I said a little bit. And he goes, oh, I don't know much about Meghan Markle. I just know the royal family was racist. And I was like, stop, collaborate, and listen. I've got to tell the truth because that is not accurate. The situation was that Meghan is a self-made woman who did not want to abide by these rules. She felt like they were, you know, dinosaurs rules. She did not want to walk behind. I specifically said she did not want to walk behind her husband. She was irate over the idea of having to walk behind William and Catherine. These were things that really got underneath her skin. I don't think it was about race. I think that she's just strong and independent and did not want to follow the rules. And, you know, if you truly wanted to find a place within the royal family, you'd suck it up. I mean, Diana lasted in years what Meghan lasted in months. And so I just feel like she didn't really want a place there because you'll bend and you'll break sometimes. Yes, I'll walk behind my husband. Yes, I'll wear pantyhose. I mean, girl, they'll make you look good. If you got the right ones up at the top, that makes you look real smooth and nice. So I don't know. I just felt, I totally agree with you that part of her reason for feeling uncomfortable was because she took a lot of those things personally. It's not about you. It's because you married the spare. It's because you married the sixth in line to the throne. And you have to pray to God that William and Catherine stop procreating or he's going to be the seventh or eighth. And yeah, I just think that that's all that it was.
I think she had outsized expectations of what the job was. And part of it is like, clearly you're briefed before you go in there. She had to go through all the training and stuff. So, you signed on for this, you know, and there are roles to play. You don't have to be the William and Kate. You can be the Princess Margaret or the Edward and kind of just have your own life and show up for the big events and then go do whatever it is you do. There's ways to work around it, but I agree with you. I think that's the best assessment, that she was just really an American actress. And here, you know, she's an independent woman and we don't have a royal culture here.
And I think you're giving her a lot of credit, Carl. I think she was an independent influencer. Meghan was you know, the suits, they were writing. What?
Go ahead. Say it, girl. Say it again.
They were writing her out of suits. She was struggling to find her next opportunity and she was throwing it all at the TIG and throwing it all at Instagram. And so I really don't know if she would have, you've watched her movies on Hallmark. Meghan is a beautiful woman, but she can't act, you know, she can't act to save her life. Watch the Oprah interview. If you don't believe me, she cannot act to save her life. So I think that she wanted to be an influencer and those rules are very different. You know, you cannot stand next to Queen Elizabeth II and post those pictures and talk about the earrings that you received for free from your BFF so that you'll continue to receive free swag. That's unacceptable. And that just, she could not process that information.
These days, it seems like everybody's talking, but no one is actually listening to the things they're saying. Critical thinking isn't dead, but it's definitely low on oxygen. Join me, Kira Davis, on Just Listen to Yourself every week as we reason through issues big and small, critique our own ideas, and learn to draw our talking points all the way out to their logical conclusions. Subscribe to Just Listen to Yourself with Kira Davis, an FCB radio podcast on Apple, on Spotify, iHeart, or wherever you get your podcasts. the Oprah interview was the final nail in the coffin. I was like, girl, please. Oh, ain't nobody worrying about what color your baby comes out of. Anything, somebody was like, oh, I'm like saying it out of curiosity. You know, like me and my husband, my mom's white. And so, and my husband's black. Me and my husband, when we got pregnant, we're like, oh, I wonder if our baby will have blonde hair like my mom or green eyes like my mom. Like, won't this be interesting? Won't this be fun to find out? So I could totally see someone mentioning that offhand, like in an excited, happy way, you know, like, right. Well, look, we're going to have this new thing. And, you know, what a total B. I'm glad that you are backing me up on this, Kinsey. I knew that Megan was trouble from the start. I had hoped that she would settle in because I did think it was very interesting to have, you know, that diversity in the palace. How fun could it have been for her? But she just had no intentions. And now I just feel like Harry's lost.
He is. He gone. He real gone. Well, I might see him at Whole Foods, you know, later, though. So that's kind of.
I don't see it lasting. I think he'll be back at some point. But, you know, she's got the spare heirs now. So
that's true.
She got what she came for.
That's right. That's going to be a really fun divorce to watch. It's going to be Johnny and Amber 2.0. Mm.
Yeah. So what I keep hoping is there's that really old law on the books that no one ever, uses anymore. No one ever enforces. There's my word. Mm-hmm. Saying that the British monarch can technically take custody of any royal heir. And I'm like, yeah. I cannot wait for the divorce to get super ugly. And King Charles to be like, those kids, they're living in England now.
That's exactly what I asked Andrew Morton when it first happened. I said, because that was Diana's fear throughout her divorce, that she, the only reason she was unraveling was because she was over Charles. She was beyond, but she was so afraid that the family were going to take her boys. So I said that to Andrew Morton. I said, is that why Meghan packed up? Because overnight she was gone.
Yeah, they were already in Canada when they dropped the news.
And going to live, I mean, it was so chaotic that they were going to live in Canada for a minute. Remember when they were and then all of a sudden they're after stating that they hated the American president, there's no way they'd live in America, and all of a sudden here they come on their private jet over to America to pack in. And
because Canada didn't want them there, the Canadians didn't want them.
I want
to
know what Andrew Morton said.
Oh, he said that Meghan was concerned about that. That she was, but she was also so defiant that that was not going to happen to her, and that's why there was that panic. What we witnessed was such panic.
Well, the story is not over. It's very interesting, and I do think that Hallmark, if they're going to take this dark turn, then they might as well do the Meghan Harry story. But the real one, I think Lifetime did one, but might as well do the Meghan Harry story and do like a little like not without my child, not without my daughter angle. But yeah, we're not. It's too bad. I grew up feasting on royal family stuff. In fact, I have scrapbooks and scrapbooks. Phil and I have all of Andrew Morton's books, and I used to get one for Christmas every year because there's one every year. And but I have scrapbooks. Like my mom bought the Inquirer and Star magazine faithfully week when I was growing up. Yeah. Every week that was her treat to herself. And then when she was done, I would read them, and any picture of Diana or any member of the royal family, I just clipped and pasted in scrapbooks. I have like 12 scrapbooks to this day of just every story, every tabloid picture, everything from right up until I think Beatrice was born. And then Fergie was not the most interesting royal, and I lost interest.
Toe sucking. I mean, after the toe sucking, you got to let go of the Fergie adoration. I would just like to say this is totally irrelevant to our conversation, but I also had a scrapbook, but it was of Devon Sawa.
Okay. That's relevant. We'll allow it.
That's amazing. I have to see it.
Devon really, honestly, should be on the Hallmark Channel by now, but he's fighting it. He is fighting it so hard.
All right. Do you have any more questions, Amelia? I know we got to let kids go. I feel like I could just talk to her forever about all of this stuff. I enjoyed the movie not as much as other Hallmark movies. There were a few tropes that were missing in this one that I like to see. Nobody fell off anything to be caught in their arms. There was a Christmas tree lighting. But there was no snowball fighting or making a snowman, nothing like that, which I feel is a, it should be a requirement in Hallmark Christmas, but we did get the precocious kids, Amelia.
We did.
We got the precocious children. Oh, one last question. Are the kids allowed to wear blue jeans? Gosh, these kids had jeans on all the time. It really bothered me.
I think that really you saw that for the first time with William and Harry in their teens or in their, you know, I'd say 10 and up, you really started to see that. But when they were children, they dressed like little maitre d's. Like they always looked like they were going to go sailing or something. And they and Diana dressed them alike, which they hated. But you do see, you did start seeing the royal children dressing modernly, thanks to William and Harry.
Amelia, right. Any more questions?
I don't think so. I mean, like you said, we could talk to Kinsey all day, but I think we know what we need to know.
Apparently she has, movie. Yeah, and apparently she has stuff to do. You have a book coming out, Kinsey?
I do. It's called R is for Revenge Dress, and it's about Diana. This is my little tote.
Alphabet book.
I would show you the book, but it's actually what's holding up my iPad right now. And obviously not doing a very good job since all you see is my Jay Leno butt chin and the double chin action. So I don't really know what
don't
it's
even
doing.
Worry about it. Where the only people who will see this video will be people who pay to see it. Oh. Otherwise, this is audio.
Well, I might as well show them my feet then.
No toe sucking, no feet pics. Yeah.
No, but so the book is based, so that title, for people who don't know, is based on Diana's famous revenge dress. When she got that divorce, she went out looking like a bajillion bucks in this.
Featured in season 5 of The Crown.
Ah!
And it's an ABC book for grownups. It's an alphabet book for grownups because I talk about cheating. So I don't recommend you reading it to your child. Scar them for life. But yeah, it's really cute. And it's on Amazon.
Great. What's the title again?
R is for Revenge Dress.
And Kinsey, what's your last name? Tell everybody.
Schofield, S-C-H-O-F-I-E-L-D. I was going to say like Philip Schofield, but that's more for the Brit audience.
Yeah.
I am probably the most relevant Schofield in America, and I'll take it.
Yes, girl. Well, congratulations to you on your book. And thank you so much for stopping by and breaking this down. I think at the end of the day, the conclusion we've come to, Amelia, is that Hallmark is pretty dead on with their protocol.
Exactly.
As usual.
Highly accurate.
Highly accurate as usual. I really loved it. So Kinsey, thank you so much for stopping by. Really appreciate it and wish you the best of luck with your book. Amelia, it's time for us to say goodbye. But until we meet again, I wish you evenings filled with nonstop sandwich making.
Thank goodness. And I wish you the kind of money you would make from selling your friend's secrets without selling your friend's secrets.
Aw. Merry Christmas, Amelia.
Christmas.
This has been a presentation of the FCB Podcast Network, where real talk lives. Visit us online at fcbpodcasts.com.